Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to A Sound Heart Radio. I want to read a passage to you from Love, Medicine, and Miracles by Bernie S. Siegel, M.D. This chapter is entitled Becoming Exceptional. He writes, quote, "Since disease has usually fulfilled some psychological need for the patient, it's also important to encourage change by doing things that reward health, not continued illness." As adapted from the list given by the Simon Templars, these include: 1, encourage the patient to be active and to do things for himself. A very powerful sentence. 2, comment when the patient improves. Don't get so involved with difficulty that you can't see anything except signs of disease. 3, spend time in activities unrelated to the illness. 4, continue the relationship at its new and deeper level as the patient helps. Unquote. And then under a heading in the same chapter entitled Transcending Fears, Dr. Siegel writes, quote, "To unblock the fountain of love and enter on the path of creative spiritual growth, we must let go of our fears, leave our troubles to God. But this is very hard, particularly when it looks as though we're not going to die tomorrow. When we don't have that time limit, it's often harder to let go. To accomplish this simple change," and he has the word simple in quotation marks, "we must work through our negative emotions and transcend them. This is impossible until we realize that no one makes us happy or sad. Our emotions don't happen to us so much as we choose them. In fact, our own thoughts, emotions, and actions are the only things we really do control. In the first century AD, the Greek thinker Epictetus made this fact the foundation of his philosophy, declaring that all unhappiness arises from attempts to control events and other people, over which one has no power. The same futile attempt born of our fears and resentments weakens the body and leads to disease. A positive outlook can be cultivated, as can a negative one be inculcated by a lifetime of conditioning. In fact, psychologists long ago discovered that emotions can be modified merely by adopting the facial expression of a contrary emotion. Recently, Dr. Paul Ekman of the University of California, San Francisco, distinguished 18 anatomically different types of smile. He found that persons trained to control individual facial muscles voluntarily could affect physiological measurements of emotions by assuming facial position of a particular smile. Sadness can be lessened by looking in the mirror and smiling as long as one is not denying the status. Performing will not work, but truly putting on a smile will create a different message that is fed back into the nervous system. You can grieve for a loss, yet still keep yourself from losing all perspective, all appreciation for the good things that remain in your life. Scientists who have studied responses to stress have found that ineffectual anger is the emotion most destructive to homeostasis. A serene acceptance of what is promotes health. But by keeping the mind clear, it also puts a person in a better position to change things that need changing. Hence, as Dr. Wallace Ellerbrook has written, we should be keeping pleasant thoughts in our heads as well as pleasant expressions on our faces and behaving in general as if we were not going to our own funerals. It is necessary for those dealing with illness to reaffirm themselves constantly with positive messages. A patient needs to stop getting up every day saying, "I have cancer, I'm too weak or depressed to do anything," and start saying instead, "Today can be beautiful. Today can be different because of the cancer. The disease can be a motivator for change." Unquote. What I want to focus on today is the necessity to live in intentional excellence. And it does take volition. That is, the will of the individual fundamentally involves in putting into place this new reality. And so we go to the scripture because it is here in scripture that we learn what intentional excellence is. That is the characteristics of intentional excellence. Of course, the model or the type for intentional excellence is found within the person of the Christ. His life is a model for us, but we never read in the scriptures that we are to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Oh, we are told that, well, from Jesus' own lips, he said, "and do so as a habit of life." Jesus said that whosoever would follow me or will follow me must, that is, it is necessary in the nature of the case to take up one's cross daily. And it is that truth, it is that message that shows us the way to intentional excellence. Because it is the arresting of the ego. It is the execution of the ego, which is based or motivated by pride. And so with that, we come to understand that we follow Jesus because he first loved us, and we follow him in love. The carnage, the personal and spiritual carnage that individuals experience in life is due to following pride and the sarks, that is, flesh. He who sows to the flesh or sarks shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap or receive back to himself or herself life and peace. And so, to take up the cross and follow Jesus daily must become one's new reality, that one is to live in intentional excellence. Because the ego gets in the way. Because the ego wants you and I to feed its insatiable desires and appetites. It will never end. And so we spend our lives feeding the beast that gives nothing back. God wants to relieve us of the belief that we must spend our lives feeding the insatiable beast of the ego. Following Jesus takes that away, because we must take up the cross and crucify the flesh. Paul writes in Galatians 2:20, Paul writes that he crucified the flesh. And it is there that one sees or begins to understand, if one thinks about it, one can begin to understand Paul's remarkable and wonderful freedom. So this is what Paul writes in Galatians 2:20. He writes, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, the verb crucify, as used in this verse, is a perfect indicative passive. And so, the individual in passive voice receives the action of the verb. It is given in the perfect tense, which means that there are abiding, continuing results that go on and on. The indicative, of course, means a statement of fact. So we have a perfect indicative passive. And he uses the term ego. I am crucified with Christ. And so for Paul, this is no shame. Paul realizes that this is the beginning of his freedom. Soren Kierkegaard has a chapter in one of his books in which he talks about the wall. He talks about that point, that epic point that individuals reach in Christ, and they say to themselves, beyond which I cannot go. That is, the ego within would not allow them to transcend or to go beyond that particular wall. There is a too muchness that these individuals experience. And they believe in within themselves that Christ demands too much. And if I go beyond this wall, that will that would mean the death of me. And so therefore, I will serve him up to a point, and that is all. Here's the point of departure for real faith. Here is the beginning, this new beginning that cannot be realized by such individuals because of their fear, and the ego will teach fear. The ego does instruct in fear, because the ego does not want to experience its own demise. So the ego tells the heart that it cannot go any further. But the individual relies upon the word of God and stops listening to the mind of the flesh, will listen to God, and he will listen, or she will listen to the word of God as a lifesaver, because the word of God does save one's life, because the word of God brings us to new life. The word of God shows us the way out of sarks, out of the mind of the flesh, into, and so, which means the highest blessedness of the preacher, the real spiritual life. When one reaches that point, one understands that the ego was in the way of real spiritual life. When one understands the necessity of following Jesus as prescribed, and I use that word, that's prescribed in the word of God. It is God's own prescription for our spiritual health that we follow Jesus. Here is the beginning of intentional excellence. And notice I did not say intentional perfection, but there's a wonderful word that's used in the Greek for God's purpose and plan in our life. It is the word telos, P-E-L-O-S, telos. And so we begin to understand the divine telos and what it means for us. Because now, instead of being controlled by the ego and its lusts and its fears, we find that we no longer are under the diabolic powers of the ego. And we can live anew. And we can relax. We can drop the mask, plural. And we can walk in a completely new identity and know that we are free. Because as long as we walk within the ego, we will walk in fear. What would it be like to live for 1 week without being consciously aware of the ego, or without being consciously controlled by the ego? What would that be like? And instead, one spends one's time during that week in meditating upon the Word of God. What marvelous realities, new realities, fresh realities, healthy realities would come into one's life after 1 week of not being controlled by fears, by malignant disinformation or brazen lies, or even walking under the power of self-engendered lies? What would life be? Would the taste of food return, would the eyes begin to see life anew and be able to enjoy the natural creation anew? Would the ears be cleansed, blessed to hear anew or to hear different? Those within one's periphery who are loved ones, will our speech improve and change? Will there be a softening of our facial expressions and the way we speak to others? Will there be a genuineness with oneself? See, the peace of God is not merely an intellectual idea that we get for ourselves. Peace of God finds reality. It is God's own peace that Jesus said would become actual and actuality within the lives of those who trust Him. Peace I leave with you, He said. My peace, my very own personal peace, I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Think about the peace that the world gives. The world does not give peace. The world gives fear. And the world wants dependence. You know why? Because the world appeals to ego, to the beast, the insatiable nature of the beast, of the ego. The world appeals to fear, inherent ego. And so it is this that the world wishes to have the individual, to have us buy into. Because the world seeks to make merchandise of belief. But when that is dropped, when the flesh is crucified with Christ, remember, perfect, indicative, passive. Paul wrote, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The on the other side of the crucifixion of the ego is the new reality of eternal life. Paul told Timothy to lay hold of eternal life. It is marvelous when one makes that final break, that when one cuts off that psychic connection to the cosmos, words with its cosmology of fear, with its intimidation, with its unending harassment, that creates hypervigilance within the heart, that creates anxiety and depression. Just look into the eyes, if they're not long, into some of these individuals who are called leaders. Look into the eyes. Notice the words they say. They don't dwell on them too long. And then go to the scripture and read the words of the prophets. Read the words of the apostles and the writers of the New Testament. Read the words. Listen to the word of God. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus said. Neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So allow the words of God to change your thinking, to give you hope, to give you peace, to give you the power to forgive, to give you the power to walk with confidence, to give you the power to walk with joy, to give you the power to have long suffering toward yourself and those who love you, because you are needed. Your words, your uplifting words, your positive presence are needed both for yourself and your loved one. And by all means, speak words of appreciation to the God who has made you and given you a brand new life. This is intentional action. It must be practiced daily. There must be the crucifixion, the crucifixion of the flesh. Remember, perfect tense, abiding results. Remember, indicative is the statement of fact. Remember the passive voice. And so we receive power, real power, and we walk the way God has called us to walk. Jesus said, walk in love. Paul wrote that we are to love. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Paul wrote the very great chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. In 1 John, John talks about love. Love is the greatest power. The world would have you to believe that fear is the greatest power. Fear depends on a collective agreement around negativism. Love is intrinsic to what is there. God is love. God is intrinsic. God is the original fire. One day, this creation, this fallen creation, with its harassments and its lies, distortions and its disinformation, will disappear, will evaporate, will go away, because lies are not intrinsic to the universe. Truth is, we are built up by truth. Our hearts are stabilized by truth. We have, and we get unto ourselves a sound heart by studying the truth and practicing the truth. We must do the truth if our lives are to change. And God will give us the power. We have the resurrection power of Christ within our hearts so that we can live new lives. Meditate on God's word. Believe God's word. Trust the word of God, and you will find the false self of the ego will run away. It will vanish, and truth will begin to direct the heart in the ways of peace. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.